cut.
Hello, Jericho.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you wanted to talk to me?
Yeah, I've been looking for you everywhere.
Okay, what do you got for me?
Yeah, you know why?
Why?
Because you've been doing a terrible job as general manager. Okay, you've been messing with my best friend, Kevin Owens.
Yeah?
And you've been messing with me. You've never liked me, fully.
That's not true. I met you at the Budokan when you wrestled Ultimo Dragon, and I went and personally recommended you to Paul Heyman. That's not true. Would be true to say I haven't liked you in a long time, but never is an exaggeration.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, all right. Yeah. Yeah. Well, you gotta go talk more about the cruiserweights?
Yeah,
now?
I'm gonna go talk about the cruiserweights.
Oh, you are.
I'm excited about the cruiserweights.
Really?
A lot more excited than I am about your speech.
Okay, great.
Yeah. You know what? What?
Demeans WWE superstars. You know what this is?
No, what is it?
I'm itemizing everything about you I don't like. I'm making the list of Jericho.
Excuse me?
The list of Jericho. The list of Jericho.
Excuse me?
We're not listening?
No, I can't hear you.
What can't you do? The list of Jericho.
Why? Because I'm missing an ear! You stupid idiot!
Yeah, he's missing an ear.
You stupid idiot!
Welcome to episode 103 of the European Uppercut on the Trending Topics Network, a podcast that talks about professional wrestling. On this episode, your emails, the Not So Knockout news, the Cruiserweight Classic is over, and WWE are rumoured to have been bidding for TNA. What could it mean if that goes ahead? And not forgetting the fact that we've got picks for the Clash of Champions this coming Sunday. So let's just not hang about, get straight into things, find out who we've got on the panel this week. Some would say he's more controversial than Iron Sheik. It's Adam.
Hello, gentlemen. Been a busy week in wrestling, it would seem.
It certainly has been a busy week in wrestling, and more to come.
Bring it on.
Absolutely. Who knows what the future holds based on that introduction. Let's be honest about it. Let's see who we've got else on this call tonight. If I had a dime for every inch over 4 foot tall this guy is, I'd have zero dimes. It's Kai.
Hey. You'd have a couple of dimes.
How are you?
I am doing really well. Like you say, it's been a really interesting week of wrestling. So much has gone on, but there is so little news. It's a strange one, but this happens from time to time. Really excited to do tonight's show.
Sometimes I wonder if it's because there's very little news or if you can't be bothered looking properly.
I don't know whether it's that or whether it's the sometimes I just can't make jokes about things. And let's face it, the only reason why I do the news is to because no one else laughs at my jokes. So I feel like I have to come on here and make them and force people to laugh at them.
Adam, remind me at some point to put in some sad violin music at this point.
I will do. I'll put it in the show notes.
Put in the show notes.
Oh, Adam's show notes.
We love Adam's show notes. But anyway, let's just get on with this show because we've got a ton to get through. And least of all, and that is the emails. We've got a couple of emails coming this week. Before we do that, though, check out my latest interview right here on the brand new Trending Topics Network. Last night, I chatted with Jason Reed from WVL, the Worldwide Wrestling League. He's been working the circuit for about a year and trying to get his name around. And this interview came about thanks to an email from Louise Westay back on episode 100. Louise, I hope you enjoyed the interview. Now, on to your emails. As I say, we've got two in this week. And the first one comes to us from Prince Paul. He says, "Evening, gentlemen. For some time now, I've been curious about Holy Foley. But I saw the trailers and I've been deterred for a few reasons. Firstly, I hold the hardcore legend in such high regard, I fear this reality program is going to eviscerate all respect I had for him. And secondly, his daughter is serious hot shit and I'm scared I'm going to end up hating her. Can you help me with this dilemma? Should I watch? Regards, Paul." Now, this is a bit of a Dear Deirdre letter, Adam. What's your thoughts on this?
I would say once you've seen something, you cannot unsee it. Mm-hmm. Is it the best content on the network? Absolutely not. Though it's a good watch, and who could hate Noelle Foley? Seriously. Look at her! It's amazing.
She's dating a goddamn clown.
She's that's no way to talk about that guy. she is, and that breaks my heart slightly. But no, it's a good watch. Like, and it by no means eviscerates Mick Foley's previous body of work. And Noel Foley comes across really well in it. Is it mind-blowing television? No. Is it going to contend my Grierson status for documentary work? No. No, it's fun.
I reckon I've been recorded for 4 minutes of official showtime, and Adam's already managed to get in a little plug for his award that he's nominated for. Kai, your thoughts on this. Is this anything more than a glorified way of getting Noel Foley on TV?
I think that could be an argument, but also it's not bad programming. It's easy watching, and when it comes to the whole will it eviscerate all respect I have for Mick Foley, okay, he may have been the hardcore legend at one time in his career, but he has also done a lot of other stuff that if it hasn't already eviscerated all your respect for him, then you're not going to lose respect for him for doing this. It's fun.
Hey, are you picking fault with his Santa impressions?
No, I because that's mainly, let's face it, right? This whole reality show is based on the fact of him having a fit daughter and him dressing as Santa Claus. That's pretty much the story, but it's quite fun. And I think that it's something that's definitely worth the watch. I can see why they've made it.
Okay, fair enough. Now, I've not watched it. It's not something at the moment I've got time to kind of get in and have a proper watch of. Does it have a lifespan about it? Is this something that I can pop into in 3 months' time and pick up on it then?
Yes. Yeah, that'd be fine. And it's also something that you mentioned a few weeks ago, Legend, when we were discussing this, in that you said, oh, well, because people were like, oh, Mick Foley's doing this, he's the hardcore legend. And you go, yeah, it seems, or people were saying, oh, no, it seems a little bit too fake and scripted for me.
Yeah.
And I go, you're watching professional wrestling, right? This is like the definite, it's basically professional wrestling, but without a ring.
It's all real to me, damn it. Anyway, yeah, I suppose that really kind of covers that one. So, Paul, I hope you appreciate that comment. Thanks for the email. It's been a while since we've heard from you. Good to have you sending an email. And again, please do so again soon. We do love hearing from you. Let's go into our second email. And this is a bit of a fun exercise from Sam Langford this week. Hello again, gentlemen. I wasn't going to bother this week after last week's embarrassing email I sent about meeting Kane, who wouldn't be able to talk or would have no history whatsoever. But we all make mistakes, haha. Sam, I think you've been a bit hard on yourself. And, you know, just because you didn't really see it from that perspective, we kind of picked up on it. Don't be hard on yourself. Let's just move forward with the rest of this email, because this could be an interesting conversation.
I blame Adam.
Why did you be, like, damn right be hard on yourself? Like, don't you like yourself?
Anyway, he goes on to say, I've not had time to catch up with the SmackDown after Backlash yet, let alone this week, so it's going to be another random one for me. This is kind of like Snog, Marry, Kill, but my own twist. Three wrestlers below, you need to pick one of the following actions for one wrestler. So the actions are, go out on a night out with, spend 2 weeks on holiday in Gran Canaria with, or have as the best man at your wedding. So here we go. But your three men, I'm going to start with you, Adam. Your three men are Shawn Michaels, Bubba Ray Dudley, Braun Strowman. Who do you want to go on a night out with? Who are you going to spend 2 weeks holiday in Gran Canaria with? And who are you going to have as the best man at your wedding?
Oh, wow. Those are three. When he said he's being random, he wasn't kidding. Those are really random names. Well, I haven't heard Braun Strowman talk, so best man at wedding, probably not a great idea. So I'd probably go on a 2 week holiday to Gran Canaria with Braun Strowman. I'd probably go on a night out with Bubba Ray Dudley, because that's I can just fob him off on some drunk girl and run away. Mm-hmm. And I'd probably have Shawn Michaels as the best man at my wedding, just to say I have Shawn Michaels as the best man at my wedding. It'd be really awkward, because it'd be like, don't forget, today's all about the bride. No, it's all about the best man.
And how many folk can have a best man speech that opens with "I'm just a sexy boy," because you wouldn't be able to get through that without playing that.
No, he'd have his own entrance music and his own like pyro and Byron maybe. No, wait, that's Scott Steiner. But that would be the best man speech ever, Scott Steiner.
Oh, but I can't help the goddamn siren.
No. those are my answers.
Cool. Kai, your turn.
Oh, well, I'm glad that Adam pronounced Gran Canaria right, because I was there going, I was thinking to myself, have I been pronouncing it wrong all this time? But anyway, let's have a look. So Shawn Michaels, Bubba Ray Dudley, Braun Strowman, going a night out with, spend 2 weeks on holiday in Gran Canaria with, and have as your best man at your wedding. I would say, oh, Adam's making me change my mind now because I really like Adam's ideas, but I'm going to stick with what I originally thought, and that is I would go on a night out with Braun Strowman because I'm quite a small person. People might think that they want to pick a fight with me. People will not pick a fight with me if I'm stood next to Braun Strowman. I love it how that's, I'm just thinking safety-wise. Then I would go on a two-week holiday to Gran Canaria with Shawn Michaels. I think that'd be quite fun, just to be able to say that you went on holiday with Shawn Michaels. And then have best man at your wedding, Bubba Ray Dudley, because I think he would be able to cut an amazing promo on the bride. Mm. And that would be hilarious. Can he then, like then put the mother-in-law through a table off of the stage, Mae Young style?
Oh, love it. Okay, I'm going to go with mine now. Actually, mine's the same as yours, but slightly tweaked to the reasons. Braun Strowman for a night out because I'm hoping he's going to bring the Exotic Express. Then at least I'm not stuck with just him. For the 2 weeks holiday, I also go with Shawn Michaels, but more so, I want that 2 weeks so I can chat to him, pick his brain, find out more about all the stuff that goes on behind the scenes, find out some more about what happened on that fateful day in 1997. Does he have any relationship with old Marty Jannetty? You know, all these kind of conversations. You can't do that when you're preparing for a wedding because it's all about the wedding itself. So, therefore, and for the same reason as you, Kai, I think do a fantastic best man speech, and the different possibilities you could have when he does say get the tables, there's so much that could happen that I wouldn't want to try and guess or predict where we go from there. So that's my answers on that. So to finish off, the email says, sorry it's poor this week, just came off the top of my head. Enjoy. Actually, I thought it was quite a fun little exercise, quite enjoyed that. It says, P.S. it's my birthday on Friday, so happy birthday to you for Friday, Sam.
Happy birthday to you.
All the best, Sam Langford. Say happy birthday to Sam, guys.
Happy birthday, Sam Langford, for Friday. If you're listening to this on Thursday, then pause it and wait till Friday. Rewind this bit and then play it again. And if it's Saturday, like, my bad.
Well, happy birthday, Sam. I will see you at your party, but happy birthday. And also...
There's a party.
Yeah, did you guys not get invited?
We did not get invited. And let me tell you something, Kai Valentine. When Adam Pearson and a living legend are in the same pub in Scotland, well,
there is no getting home. There is no one getting home.
Not
we don't know what hotel you're going to end up in. Let's put it that way.
Not the first time you try, anyway.
Actually, Sam did get a great thing this week, as a couple of days ago Jake the Snake Roberts sent him a happy birthday message on Facebook, and that made his day.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. It's amazing what automated internet robots can do.
Is that another $10 well spent, Kai?
Oh, I wish I could say yes. No. Oh, wow. Kurt Angle doing that tweet for us. Such a nice bloke. I, Kurt, I know you're listening. I know you're a big fan of the show. I hope you enjoyed the $10 I sent you to tweet about us. Yes, it's out in the open now. Everyone knows.
There we go.
Already there anyway.
Of course you enjoyed the $10, Kai. Like, prescription medication's getting more expensive in America, so he probably loved it. Allegedly, that's a joke. He probably didn't spend it on yellow birds. He probably spent it on petrol.
Wow. Anyway, let's get things progressing on this show.
It's time for the Nutso Knockout News!
Hello and welcome to this week's Not So Knockout News. Hulk Hogan could be returning to the WWE soon. Time flies when you're not talking like A.H. Walker. Brandi Rhodes, the former Eden, has signed with TNA. Great business sense, TNA. You can't afford to fund your biggest show of the year, but you can sign someone just for their last name. Johnny Gargano married his wrestler wife, Candice LeRae, over the weekend and will have his final indie match against her this weekend. Well, at least now we can talk about one wrestler who's locked his wife in a submission hold. And finally, Terry Funk said goodbye to ECW fans at the House of Hardcore show at the ECW Arena this weekend as health concerns are spreading around the internet. Apparently, he got on a plane 2 days after a hernia surgery to be at the event. And then there's me complaining that I burnt my tongue this morning and thought I might not be able to do this show. And that's all for this week's Not So Knockout News.
Well, some interesting and some less interesting stories in there. Let's quickly run thoughts around the table on Hogan possibly making his return to WWE. Adam, has it been enough time?
I think it has. Yeah. I think he's won his lawsuit. He's destroyed Gorka.
Yeah, destroyed being the word.
And I think wrestling fans in general are quite a forgiving bunch of people. And as long as he doesn't cut any promos against the New Day, he should be all right. So bring him back. Just be really careful who you're having a feud with.
Absolutely, Kai. Any thoughts on it yourself?
I think that eventually things are going to, there'll be less of a backlash. I think that there will be some backlash, but actually, if they'd have brought him back at Backlash, that would have been hilarious. I really wish they'd have done that. But there's a thing, with me being a wrestling figure collector, I think I've mentioned it on the show before, that Hulk Hogan was originally, they were supposed to be bringing out a Mattel Hollywood Hulk Hogan figure, which had never been brought out just before all this came out and he got fired from WWE. So it was brought, they made a prototype of it and then it was never sent to release. So there is a lot of people in the wrestling figure collecting community who are very pissed off that that never happened, and they will be over the moon about this.
Personally, I have no issue with him making a return, as it was proven that Gawker obviously were up their own arse as per normal. That's one of those things being decided in the court of law. We can move on, we can all live our life happily knowing that Hulk Hogan can make his return whenever he feels like it. So yeah, I'm all good with that. Let's move on to Terry Funk saying goodbye to ECW. Has he had too many hits on the head? Doesn't he realise that ECW died, 15 years ago?
This is a difficult one because
I know the truth here. I know what
you're doing. You know this story. He's not doing very well. Apparently, he turned around to fans and said that because he was meant to be in Tommy Dreamer's corner for the main event, but basically, he did the signing. And it got to the beginning of the show and he realised that, you know what, I should probably follow doctor's orders and get home, because he was told that he wasn't allowed to leave the house. And so he's gone home and he's in a really bad state now. But what he said to the ECW fans was that he didn't want to leave that arena because he knows that he's probably never going to come back.
So at the end of the day, he's a 72-year-old man, do you know what I mean? There's a well, there's always a time when you have to call it time, but if there is anyone who's going to be the kind of man that dies inside a square circle, it's going to be Terry Funk.
It's a very conflicted thing for me, because there's part of me going, Terry, you should go and relax, spend some time with your family, and, you know, have a calm last couple of years of your life at best, maybe. But then there's part of me going, he's got to 72. He probably doesn't, his family are guys like Tommy Dreamer, the guys that he's in the ring with. If he's not in the ring or around the ring, then he's probably not happy. So it's a very, there are two sides to it where I go, I feel like for your health, you should be at home, but you should really be where you're happiest.
Yeah, you want to spend your last days in some in an environment that you feel happy, you feel satisfied in. And if he is, as I assume he is, still giving to the other talents, just in terms of his experience and knowledge behind the scenes, then, you know, that's, he is still giving that to him. It's probably a very precious, very treasured thing that he gets to do on a week-to-week basis, or whenever he does get to do it. So I can't see him wanting to kind of stay away that long.
The interview that he actually, well, the promo that he cut to the crowd in the ECW arena did seem a little bit too familiar. It felt a little bit too close to home, to the to the Ultimate Warrior promo that he cut, which was very, you know, looking back at it, you might go, oh shit, that seems too much like a goodbye, but you never know with these things.
Absolutely. And I'm just going to jump to Johnny Gargano and Candice LeRae's wedding. I don't know if anybody out there has seen the video that's come out of the lip sync that they've done. Very good fun. Opening with a little bit of this. Little glorious bomb to start the whole thing off. Very entertaining. Really enjoyed it, especially the Celine Dion part. That was my favourite bit of the whole thing. Adam, have you seen that?
I have not. You, my friend, you had me at Celine Dion.
That's your homework after show.
I would gladly do that homework.
Good. I'm glad to hear it. Okay, let's start moving on, because there's still quite a lot to get into on this show.
This is Scotland's cheekiest wrestler here, Jason Reid, and you're listening to the European Uppercut Podcast.
Cheeky new little soundbite dropped into the show. Okay, let's move on to chatting about the Cruiserweight Classic that finished last week.
It's over, Adam. What are we going to do? I don't know. Wednesdays are just going to be... I mean, granted, we've still got like 7 more weeks of Bake Off, but after that, Wednesday's just going to suck.
Well, no, we've got NXT, we've got Lucha Underground Wednesday, there's all got good stuff going on.
Well, I'm not impressed with Lucha Underground at this very moment in time.
I have to say that this series so far has not really hit at the ground running to me either. I feel there's plenty of scope for them to pick the pace up and take it to that next level. So I will hold judgment for a few weeks.
No, that's not hard. It's dying on its ass. Let's call a spade a spade, as opposed to a garden digging utensil. It's not been great.
Well, I think that's a little harsh, but hey, everyone's entitled to their opinion. You're entitled to yours, so that's fair enough. There's no point in asking Kai his thoughts, because, you know, he doesn't bother his arse watching.
There is too much wrestling. There is so much. I'm watching Holy Furley. That's
right there. Right there. That decision there, right? That's where it shows who you really are.
No, it's not.
We're judging you on that. We're judging you.
I try to find time, but I barely found time for SmackDown, let alone, but now I'm finding time for that, and I don't know where that's come from, so maybe if things get good, I will try again.
Yeah, you try having 2 kids and all the rest of it that comes with it. Try to record podcasts and update websites and take your kids to swimming lessons, meeting them after karate classes, you know. Wait till you get to that stage in life and tell me where your time comes from. Jeez. Anyway, so we had 3 excellent matches plus an extra bonus little tag meet match last Wednesday. Let's quickly look at the three main cruiserweight matches, though. We'll start with Gran Metalik versus Zack Sabre Jr. Kai, your thoughts on it?
I find it hard to comment on these matches, not because they're not good, but because they're so good that I have nothing else to say than going, wow, that was fucking amazing. I was in some sort of trance whilst watching that. I didn't expect Gran Metalik to get to the finals, so that did shock me, but I was very, very impressed. And yeah, an awesome, awesome spectacle of a match.
But I suppose, Adam, it should have been expected in that way. From what we've heard, Zack Sabre Jr. hasn't signed any level of contract, so why would they put someone into the final that wasn't going to be hanging around?
Yeah, exactly. And this match just started and then did not slow down. The match went from 0 to 10 really quickly. The audience went from 0 to 10 really quickly and stayed at 10. Yep. The audience bought big into this match.
Yeah.
And it was just so good.
And I have to say, from watching that match, Zack Sabre Jr. doing a bit more of the stuff that I've been wanting from him that really helped. You know, showing a bit more facial expression, a bit more passion, a bit more anger where required, and showing us a bit more of the pressure that he's putting on some of these holds that he does. So I'm much happier seeing that coming through in that match.
Yeah, but I showed this match to my brother, who's not a wrestling fan, and even he was slightly impressed, which is the best I'm ever going to get for him. This is the man that thought Undertaker Shawn Michaels at WrestleMania 25 was okay, I suppose.
Yeah, well, you know, it's no Alicia Fox match, is it?
No. Candice LaBelle versus Melina Alicia Fox is the greatest match of all time.
All time. Anyway, let's move on to the other semi-final. Kota Ibushi versus TJ Perkins. TJ Perkins obviously triumphing in this match. And again, exact same reason as we should have seen it coming. Kota Ibushi, so sure no sign of signing any kind of WWE contract. Made sense. TJ Perkins would then go into the final. But again, another fun, entertaining, really well-crafted match between the two guys.
Yeah, another great, great match. Just Ibushi is great, and I would love to see him finally sign with WWE at some point. Yeah. Same with Zack Sabre Jr. I think I expected one of Zack Sabre, even though I knew that both of them hadn't signed contracts, I did expect Zack Sabre Jr. to get to the final for some reason. So when I saw that Gran Metalik had won that one, I did think, I think that TJ Perkins is going to get through, but I'm so happy that it happened, and it was an amazing, amazing match. Yeah,
Adam, your thoughts on it?
It was a different match. They couldn't go out and also go pedal to the metal like Perkins and Zack Sabre Jr. and Gran Metalik did, but it was still really, really good. And this was a real. This had a lot more of a kind of war of attrition feel to it. And that final submission move was just, it looked brutal.
Absolutely, like, absolutely.
Perkins earned every inch of that win in that match. And that was my favourite match of the finale, just because technically it was it was the best. It wasn't the most entertaining by a long shot. That was the first match. But technically, this is why I love cruiserweight wrestling.
Yeah, and you know, even with those two matches alone, there's roughly 28 minutes of non-stop, fast-paced, hard-hitting action where nobody seems to be pulling any punches, and you know, showing that they deserve to be in that semi-final and looking for that place in the final. I actually felt very genuine in that respect, so that was great to see that coming from all four. So let's move on to the final match. Gran Metalik facing off against TJ Perkins. Ultimately, TJ Perkins wins, again, by submission. Great final match. Gran Metalik absolutely got a whole lot of praise for that man after that match as well, Kai.
Yes, of course. Brilliant match. But I want to say, first of all, the little bit before it, where Triple H came out and brought out the new Cruiserweight Championship, or as WWE are saying, the first ever cruiserweight champion. But I'm sure we'll touch on that at some other point. And it was just one of those moments where I went, wow, that was awesome. Just the thank you, Hunter chant made me realise why I do love Triple H. And yeah, it was a great match. You saw the scars left on TJ Perkins after that match. It was hard hitting. Anyone who says that, because there are still people out there who go, oh, professional wrestlers, it's fake and they don't get hurt or touch each other. Just look at TJ Perkins' chest after that.
It was purple.
Brilliant. It was. Yeah, it was the same colour as his championship.
Absolutely beautiful. Well colour matched. Adam, your thoughts on it?
I loved it. Like I said, the ending with the unveiling of the title was great. TJ Perkins just had massive welts and bruises all over his body. Metallic came out, and you got the feeling that this meant something. A lot of the time in wrestling, people just walk through it and do the moves, and whilst they put on a show, there's not that sense of urgency. Mm-hmm. And I spent the whole week trying to put my finger on where that came from, and I've decided that good commentary adds so much to pro wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
mm-hmm.
This felt important, it looked important. The whole first ever cruiserweight champion, even though we all know Hornswoggle was robbed, it still feels like it means something to TJ Perkins and to the whole meta of the WWE universe as a whole.
Absolutely. And you know what, the funny thing is, I'm going to go back to a couple of things that you talked about. The commentary, the absolute passion that came out of Ronaldo and Brian during those three matches was brilliant. They really, really sold it. They put it over as best they could, and it was really good to hear. It's just ironic that the two guys presenting it are not going to be the two guys that are commentating them on a week-by-week basis, Kai.
That's true. That's true, and that's something that Mick Foley made a joke about on Twitter earlier this week. But actually, I think that Daniel Bryan's not a commentator full-time, so that was never going to happen. Mauro Ranallo is part of SmackDown, but there's Corey Graves on Raw, which is still, he knows what he's talking about. And as he turned around during the actual, he was calling all the moves during the Fatal 4-Way this week on Raw. And yeah. I remember Michael Cole turned around to Corey Graves and went, wow, Corey, who said that you couldn't call a a cruiserweight match, and he just turned around and went, our general manager, that's who? And it's like, yeah, because he knows what he's talking about. So I'm glad in a way that Corey Graves is there, but Michael Cole isn't a bad commentator. I think he gets a little bit too much slack.
I quite enjoyed his work. I thought he did really well. For someone who isn't a natural commentator, who isn't naturally in that position, he really believed in the guy that he was watching. He was selling the moves as best he could. He was getting excited at the proper, appropriate intervals. And you know, for someone in his position, that's as much as we can ask from him. Adam, would you agree?
Yeah, I mean, he's not, as you say, a bad commentator or a bad guy. And I think he's saying what he's told to say. I think everything he does that's ridiculous comes from Gorilla. So, and it's the first week. It's a very different style of wrestling, and so requires a very different style of commentary. And there'll be teething problems, but I think they'll get there. If it's booked seriously and it's taken seriously, eventually it'll be seen and treated seriously.
But let's look at that match on Raw then. So we've got a Fatal 4-Way Cruiserweight match to determine the number one contender for this coming Sunday at Clash of Champions. We've got Rich Swann. We've got Cedric Alexander, we've got Brian Kendrick, and we've got Gran Metalik. These four really went at it on Raw. For me, I think it was probably the longest match on Raw this week, and I loved every single minute of it, Adam.
Yeah, it was a very, very good first showing for the Cruiserweights. There's always that worry, are they just going to be like a 5-minute wonder? Is this just going to be like WCW, where they put the one first and then just commentary makes fun of them? But no, they were put on bang in the middle, where the peak audience normally is. The crowd responded to it well. And the match was really, really solid. My only two problems, and they're not really that big. They're by no means industry breaking. Where was TJ Perkins?
Yeah.
In a number one contendership match, you need to at least have your champion physically present in some way, shape, or form.
Probably healing.
even in the new era, they still had to put an ex-WWE guy over. They couldn't just be like, give it to the one. Because everyone wanted Cedric Alexander to win. Like, no secrets are made about that. Cedric is the most over guy in that division.
Mm-hmm.
And they still put Brian Kendrick over him.
There is that. I still see plenty of time for Cedric Alexander to have a great title run at some point. There's no point in rushing it. There's plenty of time for that to happen. I see why they do the Kendrick thing now, because I don't know how long they've got Kendrick around for, how long his career will sustain at 37 years old. Can he still compete at that level in another year, 2 years' time? Kyle, your thoughts?
I think I know why. I think the reason why they've gone with Brian Kendrick now is because because TJ Perkins is obviously going to be working as a babyface, and I think that Brian Kendrick was the guy that had the most character for putting over he's an ex-WWE guy, but I wholeheartedly believe that he will be laying down come Sunday night. So he is a recognizable face who was going to be recognizable heel who's going to be laying down to put over TJ Perkins in his first match.
Yeah. Okay, and we'll get a bit more into what happens on Sunday later on in the show when we're chatting about Clash of Champions. Anything else you want to add about the match itself, though, Kai?
No, nothing else to add. I thought it was fantastic. It was a really... It's one of those matches where you sort of feel like you're in a daze of so much going on, but it's all amazing.
PK mentioned in our chat that we have in between shows that he thought some of those shots were very solid, very hard hit, and I think it was Peaky, was it? Maybe I'm mixing some of my conversations up, but anyway, the hits were very hard hitting, and there was a lot of punches, particularly between Swan and Alexander, and between those two guys, I can see a great feud coming out of this off the back of Raw alone, Adam.
Yeah, there were elements that were quite stiff, and they can't just focus on the title and the number one contender. They need to build feuds into it. Good matches for the sake of good matches just isn't enough at the WWE level. And guys like, you know, Ring of Honor, New Japan, PWG, What Culture Pro Wrestling, they can have good matches for the sake of having good matches. But with the sheer TV production level that WWE has expected of them, there has to be decent storytelling. And I would love that story told, both in the ring and on the mic.
That's just to give credit to the right person for that conversation. It was actually during an interview with Jason Reed last night. We were chatting about it because he'd seen that match and I hadn't at that point. But really, really curious to see what if they do go into a program with those two guys, because I think that could be really, really interesting going forward. And do they go the heel route with one of them, or do they keep it as kind of face-face, but, you know, all about showing off who is the better man, which is he going forward. But yeah, I really enjoyed everything we've had from the Cruiserweights over the last 10 weeks. Disappointed to finish, but obviously we knew it had to at some point. But now I'm really eager to see what we get from season 2 when they finally get around to doing it. Something to look forward to down the line. And, you know, we could go into starting to put our guesses in as to who they could possibly go for that. But I think we can hold that off for another week. So plenty more to cover on this show. Speaking of which, it's time to get into our next topic. And it's come about that apparently, allegedly, WWE have put in an offer to buy TNA. Well, whether that's true or not, who knows? But the reports say that it is legitimate. It is actually a genuine bid that's on the table, as have Sinclair Broadcasting, who own Ring of Honor. What actually happens off the back of that, who knows? It's believed that TNA is genuinely still up for sale. Billy Corgan, yes, he's invested in it for the time being, but I think he's looking at that as a short-term investment, planning to get his money back off the back of it. So we thought this is a great topic. There's so many things we can chat about on this. Let's break it down every which way we can and look at the prospects, Should WWE splash the cash, purchase TNA? What does it mean? Who benefits? Who doesn't? So let's have a look at this step by step, guys. And I'm going to start off with a question. Is this purchase compatible to the WCW buyout? Why or why not? And I'm going to start with Kai on this.
Is it as big a deal? No, personally. Mm-hmm. Yes, they'll be getting the same thing out of it when it comes to... When it comes to buying the video library, mm-hmm. but they're not direct competition, or at least they haven't been, arguably, for many years. And actually, I'm not sure whether the industry's in the, well, the industry isn't in the same place that it was in 2001, because there are other places that people can go straight away. Yeah. Apart from WWE, if you're not in TNA, there's Lucha Underground, New Japan Pro Wrestling, a load of indie companies that will take on wrestlers. So the WWE it's no longer WWE and TNA are the only places to go like it was when it was WWE and WCW. But you can see some of the similarities there.
Adam, would you agree with that?
Yeah, 2001 was the boom period of wrestling. And it was WWE, WCW, and or a bingo hall in New York, and nothing else. Whereas now that there are other places to go, I still think it's an amazing acquisition. I think as far as economic value to the two parties involved, it's as big a deal. Just as far as culturally, It's not as big a deal. No one's going to be talking about this in the playground like they were the WCW
purchase. And we're not going to get a WWE Network series about the Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Wednesday night wars.
No, and there'll certainly be no invasion pay-per-view.
Exactly. It could be argued that we are in a new boom period. Wrestling hasn't been as strong as it is now in a very long time. Looking at things like NXT, looking at the Cruiserweight Classic, looking at Lucha Underground, how prevalent the indies are becoming, especially here in the UK compared to when they were. Would you say it's an official boom period, Kai, or do you think we've still got a bit to go before it really hits that level?
I think that this is another difficult one, because we are technically, I think we can say that when it comes to professional wrestling as an art form, as an in-ring product, we are in the most amazing place that we have been in possibly ever. Like, the guys who are going in WWE alone are some of the greatest actual wrestlers to step inside the ring. But we can't really call it a boom period when just this past week we've dropped under 2.5 million viewers. And I know that looking back to 2001 again, we're not in the same place culturally when it comes to television ratings. At least live viewership has gone down because of everything to do with the internet and how we consume the product, but it's still incredibly low compared to the 8 million that they were getting in 2001. I'm not sure whether I do. I tell you what, since I was a kid, and that's only been some would argue a matter of weeks, some would say, but since I was in primary school, say, or the beginning of high school, then I remember always being told that I was the only kid in school who watched professional wrestling by the time I got to high school. And that made me weird. That made me an outcast for it. But now I can go around and tell people I'm a professional wrestling fan. I have a wrestling podcast. Please check it out if you don't mind getting offended by some jokes by a guy off the telly. And I end up turning and I realise that actually now I can freely turn around and say, yes, I'm a wrestling fan. And people go, oh, wow, that's interesting. Or even, oh, yeah, I caught a little bit of that. Or I know a little bit about something that's going on. Whereas when I was a kid a couple of years ago, that wasn't the case. You guys might have a different perspective, though, because you're that little bit, some cases, a lot older than me.
Ooh. I'm tempted to cut him off the call and just go you and me for the rest of the show. Yeah, Adam!
That was slightly bitchy, Kai.
Slightly.
Proper low blow to me. Anyway, Adam, is it a boom period? Is it possible to have a boom period anymore? Where do you stand on all this?
I think saying we're in a boom period is being incredibly generous. So I do think mm-hmm. there is almost this renaissance that mm-hmm. wrestling, as Kai correctly said, is as good as it's ever been since the boom period. I think mm-hmm. trying to recapture that attitude era feel is nigh on impossible.
Yeah.
But I think this is the closest we've been to it for quite some time, and I am loving it.
It's a great thing. Okay, let's go on to the next kind of question I put together for this. If all of this goes ahead, do we get some sort of storyline out of it? Do we see, for example, Mick Foley or Daniel Bryan appearing on TNA television and say that I've bought TNA, as Vince did back in the day? Is that a possibility, Adam?
It's a definite possibility, as in it can feasibly happen. So I don't think it will actually happen. I think if it does, it's a huge mistake.
Mm-hmm.
Because history's taught us that that kind of angle ends poorly for everyone. And if it does happen, I'd like to see TNA assimilated into NXT.
Right, okay, yeah. Half of it already is.
Right, exactly, and it's worked. So why not go all in?
Right, okay, yeah.
Have the tag team that I want of Gunner and the Big Show called the Gun Show.
Well, keep that, because we'll come to that a bit later on in this conversation. I've got something nicely scheduled for that. Kai, I mean, even if it did do something like that, would it even have any kind of impact, excuse the pun, in a non-live environment?
No, I can't see that happening at all. I can't even see them straight away turning round and even just having Michael Cole put a graphic up and say, oh, look, what WWE bought this week? It's TNA. I can't even see them mentioning it first if they do it on television. I think that it's something that in 2 years' time, when all this TNA talent's on the roster, they will maybe more openly turn around and go, well, we fought in TNA, or they get that edgy superstar. Like when CM Punk came out and cut the pipe bomb promo, someone finally mentions TNA properly on WWE television. But I think that it's something that will be slowly trickled in as the years go on, until we get to a point where we talk about it like we are doing with WCW now.
Yeah, I get you. Let's look at the biggest, most interesting part of this, in terms of from Vince's perspective, and that's the tape library. Does the purchase of TNA for WWE have any kind of value beyond that, Adam?
I do not think it does. I think getting the tape libraries to guys like Sting, Kurt Angle, AJ Styles, Samoa Joe, but also guys who are not yet in WWE but could well be in the foreseeable future. I wouldn't be stunned to see Daniels, Kazarian turn up. Abyss is just such a WWE-looking wrestler. Matt and Jeff Hardy could return. And to just have that footage archived away to break out for the DVD sets or for the network specials, or just that no one else has it, is invaluable.
So if there were talents that WWE would acquire, you've mentioned a few names there. Does anyone else bring to mind who you think they'd be interested in? For example, would they go back for a Gail Kim Take 3? Would they be interested in a DJZ, an EC3, or anyone like that? Any thoughts on that?
All of the above. I think DJZ would fit in very well into the cruiserweight division. I don't know what they're going to do with Ethan Carter III now, when he comes out and goes, yeah, my aunt owns nothing. Wow, I'm broke.
my aunt, Chris Jericho, comes out, yeah, your aunt, you stupid idiot.
What do I do now? My life is nothing. And then it turns out he has to work for Spud. And that'd be amazing. Fuck that.
Kai, what about you? What talents do you think WWE could have an interest in?
My problem is I don't know the TNA roster as president that well, but I think that guys like what it will do is for it's something you touched on a second ago. When they have this tape library, it will mean that there are guys like Daniels and Kazarian who might turn around and go, you know what, it might be worth actually signing with WWE because now they own all my footage of my entire career. It's a bit like when Sting turned around, because one of the things, I remember reading an interview with Sting where they turned around to him and they said, so what are the real reasons behind why you came back to WWE? And it was like, oh, well, I want to wrestle at a WrestleMania, fair play. I want to wrestle The Undertaker, which sadly never happened. But also he turned around and said, and to be honest, I kind of wanted to be able to, you know, see some of my footage of my entire career and be able to get my hands on it when I wanted it. And this was my main way into getting it.
And what about the network? Does the tape library go on the network? Can we stream Impact like we can Nitro, for example?
This is something I was chatting to Legend about earlier today when I was saying that I don't think it will be something that happens instantly. I don't think they'll suddenly turn around and go, well, we've bought TNA, we've closed it down, but here's the last 10 years of footage that you can find all the details on. I think it's going to be something that they will keep behind the scenes, and they will use that footage when it comes to DVD releases and network specials and showing highlight videos. Because let's look at AJ Styles, for example. AJ Styles is the WWE. It makes me laugh every time I say it. Not because I don't think he deserves it. I wholeheartedly do. And he's one of my favourite performers. But I don't think anyone could have turned around this time last year before all the club stuff came out and turned around and went, yeah, AJ Styles is going to be WWE World Champion in 12 months' time.
AJ Styles is WWE Champion. Kevin Owens, or Kevin Steen,
yes,
is the Universal Champion. And Shinsuke Nakamura is the NXT Champion.
What has happened? And people think, this is just going off on a tangent, people think that Triple H doesn't, that Vince McMahon doesn't know what he's talking about anymore and that he's out of touch. If he, but to go back to the using their tape library thing, AJ Styles, for example, it's one of those things where we go, well, AJ, we need to show some of this. We've been talking about how you've got this 20-year career. Let's show some of it, but we've only got clips of you 15 years ago in WCW doing a couple of matches. So owning that tape library, just to be able to show it in video packages, will be fantastic.
There's a lot of guys that fits with.
Terrifying thing about that video library. Somewhere in that video library, it features the words, here is your winner and the new World Heavyweight Champion, Ron Killings.
And let's not forget the reverse battle royal.
And also, revisionist history. WWE is very good at that. What happens to the main event of Victory Road 2010?
that match didn't. It just went swimmingly, didn't it? Nothing bad happened.
Nothing at all. And this is one of those things where you know that if they ever did do this, it would come in drips and drabs, so they had time to sanitize what they needed to sanitize.
Yeah, absolutely. Because so many people just randomly turned up in TNA as well. Like Macho Man turned up for a bit, like when Impact first started. Like back in the day, Impact matches had a 20-minute time limit, and judges to decide who would win in the event of the time running out. Like that was weird. And there's people that have since been in WWE and aren't on acrimonious terms with them, Kid Cash. So I don't know what they do about that either.
I don't think they'd bother too much about that, as long as they've got some sort of profitability off the back of it. I've had a thought about someone we've not mentioned, and you know, he's never had a WWE run. Does he ever get one? And that's poor old Jeremy Borash. Where does he fit in if WWE buys TNA? Does he end up going to another indie?
Yep. He does. They will not bring him to WWE because he's just not. He doesn't look like a WWE commentator. Mm. Or I think that him and the Pope and Josh Matthews should just go and form a Blazer Squad tribute band and be done with it.
Oh yeah, Josh Matthews, fucking hell, he's gonna he must, because he's gone to TNA and he has sort of ripped to shreds WWE and tried to be this whole thing about, oh, I didn't even need them whilst failing. Jesus, that's gonna be hard for him.
It is. That's gonna be a very awkward shareholder meeting for him to sit in.
But it just made me laugh that, like, guys like Eden, the former Eden, Brandi Rhodes, I mentioned in the news, has been signed by TNA.
From what I've heard, they've actually already pretty much got an agreement with Cody Rhodes, and this has just come off the back of that.
But why are they signing people if they're struggling for money that much?
Because they need to keep the funders happy, and one of the main investors these days is Fight Network, as is Billy Corgan himself. You know, there's money there because it's not reliant on Panda Energy anymore. It's not reliant on Carter Cash. Those days are gone. There is some money floating around. And they've got themselves in a place where their audience levels are picking up again. They have got some money coming in.
But there's been reports There's been reports coming out all week. And I must state, these are from wrestling news sites, which, let's face it, you can't exactly 100% trust. We could be doing this.
I told you about wearing rubber gloves when you watch those sites.
I'm telling you, in 10 years' time, when we're looking back at this show and going, wow, I really didn't expect TNA to make such a turnaround that they bought WWE.
That's never going to happen.
No.
But still.
There is more chance of A.H. Walker owning WWE with the Mountie as a silent partner.
I'm interested in that.
Granted, I would love to watch that product because I think it'd be amazing. Kind of, here is your winner and the new Universal Champion, Pierre the Moose. That'd be hysterical. never going to happen.
Okay, fair enough. Let's take this conversation in a different direction then. What if this does go the other way? What if Sinclair Broadcasting by TNE, do they see it as something that's a viable commodity to keep going in conjunction with ROH? Do they do a merger with ROH, or do they do it for the exact same reason as WWE? Do they want that tape library? Kai, your thoughts first.
I think that they would. That's a little bit more difficult because I feel that they would do some sort of invasion angle and try and keep them all on television and maybe try and run TNA as well, but I think that it will end horribly for them. And actually, I do believe that if that happens, if Sinclair Broadcasting does buy TNA, I think that that might be the end for TNA anyway. When it comes to the superstars that we're seeing right now, I think a lot of them will up and leave. I don't think the Hardys would stick around. I think we're coming to the end. And I know we've been saying this since episode 1 of this show, and we're now on episode 103. But this could be the end for TNA.
Interesting. Adam, would you agree with that perspective, or do you see a different angle on this?
I don't think Sinclair Broadcasting have any way to use the tape library. If they have it, it'd be like a dog with a fire engine. Yeah, we've got it, but now what do we do with it? So, I don't think it's that. I think they would try and run it as a wrestling company. I think they'd very much keep it separate. I think we all know invasion angles don't work very well. But I also agree with Kai that a lot of people wouldn't want to work for Sinclair Broadcasting or Ring of Honor.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people would up and leave and thin out the roster even more. I don't know how TNA is still going. TNA, it's the way TNA is like Terry Funk. It should be dead, but somehow it isn't. And I'm glad it isn't, but I don't know how.
Right, okay.
I tell you what, this whole thing with Sinclair Broadcasting and TNA, it's kind of like Bake Off going to Channel 4. Because if it does go that way, it's not what anyone really wants. They're going to stick it around, but it's not going to be as good. And all the main people are going to up and leave.
Yeah, that's exactly what's going to happen. And then Sinclair Broadcasting will release a statement going, no, we'll do well, I promise. And hello to Jay Hunt. If she's not going to listen to this. Hi, if you're listening, Jay. Love your work. And Richard McCarrow, you are this week's dick of the week.
Dee me. Okay, now I'm going to go to one last conversation on the whole TNA WWE thing. And Adam, you touched on this earlier. If this goes ahead and they start putting together guys into tag teams, taking one TNA and one WWE guy, putting them together, what kind of interesting tag teams could we see? And I'm going to open the bidding with the team of Moose and Sheamus, and obviously they're going to be Sheamus.
Ah, I like that. I have a very similar one that I'm almost certain won't make it into the podcast, but we'll get onto that later.
Oh, interesting. Okay, Kai, what about you? Have you given us any thought, any ideas?
I haven't. I'm currently Googling the TNA roster because that shows how well known they are.
Okay, let me
Come back to me in a bit.
Okay, so Moose and Mark Henry, sexual chocolate Moose.
I love it.
There we go.
Oh dear.
That joke was written by Hulk. That was written by Hulk Hogan.
Allegedly. I'm trying to come up with some other ones.
We've got Ethan Carter and Shane Helms.
Yeah.
EC3 count.
Uh-huh. Now, of course, he's technically another TNA guy at the moment, so...
Oh, rubbish.
That one fails. Who else do we have?
I'll be honest, nothing's going to be sexual chocolate mousse. Like, that's
very, very good. Has to be said, it's very, very good. I love what you did with that one.
Can I cheat and say Bobby Roode and James Storm?
No, because that's cheating. Unless you come up with a whole new unique name for them.
Filthy, stinking, rich. I don't know. Beer money is just so good. Like, and I'm going to count it because it's sticking to the rules that you set out before. One WWE guy, one TNA guy in a tag team. Bobby Roode, James Storm, done. Yeah. You're just think of it.
I'm looking at the TNA roster here, according to Wikipedia, right? They've got a guy on here called Marsh Rocket. Who the fuck's that?
I don't know. I have no idea. Let me consult the source of all knowledge, YouTube.
There isn't even a link to his page.
I'm currently trying to find the TNA roster on the TNA website, and it's not here.
It's not there. there first. They don't have a roster on their site anymore.
No, probably because they don't have a roster. I really don't want TNA to fail, and I don't want to slug them off. But what could we give them if we put together Bobby Lashley and Apollo Crews as a tag team?
Wow, I'm not even gonna go there. Move on.
I was trying to name them after the. After Dash and Dawson, like one flips, no personality.
What about taking the obvious one of Braun Strowman and Al Snow and giving us the Braun Snowman?
I like that. David Sandow and Braun Strowman, brains before Braun. Yeah,
brains before Braun. Yeah,
but he's not. He's out in Rex now.
Yeah. Oh, who cares? Who cares? No one's gonna know.
So I've just come across because
I'm Funkosaurus Grotus Clay and Aaron Rex, Tyrannosaurus Rex. Yeah, Funkosaurus Rex. There we go. Done.
Rich Swan and Eli Drake. So Swan Drake.
Nice. I like that.
I've just come across on the TNA website because it was on this past week's TNA, the Empty Arena Exposed turnbuckles match. Was that an on-purpose empty arena match, or was it because they just couldn't get anyone to come and see it?
No, it was intentional, but I don't understand why it didn't feel it had any particular value.
Guys, you know where we need to look whilst we're on the TNA website? I am on shoptna.com.
This is going to be a much cheaper week than last week.
Wow, you could actually buy TNA. Fucking yuck. Actually, a little story that I read online this week. Apparently, TNA no longer own the name TNA.
No,
brand name.
No.
They don't own the copyrights for it.
No.
So,
which is incredibly ridiculously stupid.
Let's have a look on the
clip. TNA, your t-shirt to $12, so you know you're in trouble.
I'm on the clearance aisle.
Wait. I've got two guys whose names just do fit together very naturally. The team of Grey Dorado. Grey Dorado. Dorado.
I like that.
It sounds very good
in your accent. Still not as good as Sexual Chocolate Mousse, but what I've
No, it's not. It's not as good as that, I have to say. And I don't think I could ever come up with anything that's as great as Sexual Chocolate Mousse. However much I like Seamus.
Yeah. I got to bed at 3 o'clock yesterday morning thinking of that one.
I must have an answer before the show.
Who else?
Cody Rhodes is registered as a TNA wrestler under as a freelancer, according to this.
Hmm. What about Heath Slater and DJ Zema Ion, Rock DJ?
I see what you did there.
Thank you.
Okay, yeah, I'll give you that one.
Get in. Crazy Steve and Brother Love. Crazy in Love.
Brother Love. We're not bringing back Brother Love just so you can have the moment.
Haters gonna hate, Ian. Haters gonna hate.
That's true. And players gonna play. Anyway, enough Taylor Swift.
There is no such thing as enough Taylor Swift. How dare you? Oh, this is falling off the wagon, hasn't it? Bloody hell.
Wait a minute, let's look at the women now. Let's have a break from looking at the men. Let's look at the women. In fact, let's just always just look at the women. Now, see, I hadn't realised that TNA had managed to build up a bit of a women's roster again. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, apparently, they've got these days.
TNA were always quite well known. When they were good, they were always quite well known for having a decent women's roster.
But there was a point when you just let everybody go. They were down to, I think it was like 6 women left.
But I think the main problem was that it was at a time when the WWE Divas roster was horrendous. So it did make the knockouts look better.
Looking at the list here, you've got Ali, Brandy, who you mentioned already, Gail Kim, Jade, Laurel Van Ness, who just debuted recently, Madison Rayne, Maria, Marty Bell, Raquel, Rebby Hardy, as she is these days, not Sky. She used to be, almost said Rebby Sky. Rosemary and Sienna. So they've built up a decent amount of females, but for the way the Knockouts division has been, it's not as strong as they used to. They've got some great, interesting characters there, but I just feel that they're not utilising it as effectively as they should. But anyway, let's see.
Oh, wow. TNA Shop, you might have won some money from me.
Oh, no, what's he found?
Jeff Hardy colouring book. Actually a thing.
Oh, wow. Now, would you like this, Adam?
Oh, I've got another tag team.
It's reduced. It's in the reduced aisle. Jeff Jarrett, laser engraved guitar, reduced from $300 to $60.
Wow, that's incredible.
That's 80% off, you know.
It is. It's still, you know, you can't polish a turd, but you can put glitter on it and engrave it with a laser.
But anyway, come back to my latest tag team I've come up with. It's a women's team, Madison Rayne, Summer Rae. They are Summer Rayne.
Nice.
Which is also the name of Belinda Carlisle's song, which they can use as their entrance theme.
It is. Let's just see how much it's going to cost to ship this Jeff Hardy coloring book. Anyway, I've got to log in and create an account. I don't want to do that. Oh, TNA, you just lost my money.
Anyway, let's just round off on this and move swiftly along.
I love it. We just started by talking about how there's this huge thing in WWE with TNA being bought, possibly. It's one of the biggest news stories of the past 12 months, and we have got down to, oh, let's buy a colouring book.
Jeff Hardy colouring book. Damn it.
Jeff Hardy colouring. I bet he's drawn all the pictures all by himself.
Do you think it's been reduced because it's been deleted?
See what you did there.
Jokes from a guy who doesn't really know what that means, but I've heard people on Raw chanting it.
And all the Matt Hardy stuff is broken. Once we finish up, I'm going to buy that comic book and get it sent to the Sign FM studios.
Yes!
Okay, let's move on from that. We've still got another piece of important business to get to this week, and that's looking ahead to this Sunday, Clash of Champions, the first Raw exclusive pay-per-view since the brand extension. I'm just bringing the card up in front of me. I need to get the pick sheet now in front of me because there's some interesting matches to chat through on this one, guys. First of all, Kai, are you looking forward to this?
Yes. Yeah, the first Raw brand split pay-per-view. Very, very much looking forward to it. It's a longer one, or there's more matches at least than the Backlash pay-per-view a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, isn't it?
Adam, your thoughts?
I am very much looking forward to it. I think the SmackDown pay-per-view Backlash was a lot better than anyone thought it was going to be and had any right to be. And on paper, some of the matches on here are phenomenal. Like, the main event is going to be amazing. Zayn Jericho should be amazing. Can Cesaro win four in a row and defeat the Great White Ginger that is Sheamus?
Absolutely. There's quite interesting matches on this card. So let's not beat about the bush. Let's start breaking it down. And let's start with a pre-show match. Alicia Fox versus Nia Jax. First of all, I'm going to say that on the sheet, everybody is backing Nia Jax. We've not got any of the WrestleCast guys put their choices in yet, Adam. However, myself, GBL, Kai, you, and PK are all putting +5 on Nia Jax. Annihilating Alicia Fox. See what I did there?
I see what you did there. This is a punerific episode. Yeah, it's only going to go one way. They need to keep her on this tear that she's going on.
Yeah. And it makes me wonder why Kiwi didn't put any money on this match. Kiwi, what are you thinking? What are you thinking, for Christ's sake? But yeah, do you think it's going to be an interesting match, or do you think it's going to be fast forward, Adam?
I think it's going to be filler. I think it's going to... I will use this match to go and get beer from my shed and make popcorn in my microwave.
Send some beer my way out your shed.
It's a bit of a trek, mate. I'll be honest. Going to Edinburgh.
Right, okay. Well, I'll just nip to the offie.
Yeah, yeah. And then let me know how much you spent and I'll PayPal it to you.
That's how buying beer works these days. I like that.
I can be your Slater-Gator beer sponsor of the week.
You can't do that as corporate.
By the sounds of it, that podcast is dead, so I'm going to slowly but surely nick their stuff.
After we come off the show, I'll give you an update on that. I had a wee Skype chat last night with old Tim, so I got the load down. Anyway, let's move on to the next match. And just for the benefit of those listening at home, I'm not talking to Kai at the moment because he's pissed off for a piss. The next match I'm going to go with is...
I'm actually back.
Of course. That was horrific.
That was horrific. I was coming back into the room.
That was really quick. Did you wash your hands?
Yes, I did, yes.
No, of course you didn't. You can't reach the sink. Anyway, the Cruiserweight Championship match. T.J. Perkins, who's had the title for 2.5 minutes, defends against the Brian Kendrick. And this could be the opening act of the show, just to really set the pace for the pay-per-view. Kai, your thoughts?
Yeah, I think it's a perfect place to put it at the start of the show. It puts the spotlight straight on T.J. Perkins and Brian Kendrick and the Cruiserweight division. And we've seen it's a tried and tested format to put a fast-paced, energetic match at the start of the show. And that's exactly what these guys are there for. But yeah, I've got Perkins down for the win. I cannot see him dropping it on his first appearance on the main roster.
Yeah, and I'm just looking at this. So I thought I'd used up all my betting points and put any points in this, but I've just realised that I changed Rusev from a plus 5 to a plus 2, so I still have 3 points I can use. So I'm putting plus 2 on Perkins to win this. Looking at you, everyone's saying Perkins. Kai, you've got a plus 5 in it. Kiwi's got a plus 5 in it. PK's got a plus 5 in it. Adam, is it as obvious as that? Is Perkins holding on to that title?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, we need to bear in mind he is the longest reigning cruiserweight champion of the modern era. And as a result, I think he'll keep it. It's going to be a good match. It's going to be blistering from start to finish. I might even call it and say this might be match of the night.
And just for the record, I'm going to do this because you mentioned earlier that we might come back to this, and I already had this on screen ready just to prove a point that you are incorrect, WWE. This is not the first ever WWE Cruiserweight Champion, because technically that was Billy Kidman. And if you really want to take it further back, the original first ever WCW Cruiserweight Champion was Brian Pillman.
There we go.
I just hope that they're saving that, and they're doing that on purpose so that maybe come January, February, when they decide to do the old school Raw episode, they'll have Brian Kendricks has won the title by then. He's stood in the ring and he's going, yeah, I am a Cruiserweight Champion. And then suddenly out comes Hornswoggle and Brian Kendrick just for one night only, for Brian Kendrick to just kick him in the face and walk off.
Just for the record, though, I mean, obviously they've been doing this with Raw and SmackDown, like the first ever Raw-only pay-per-view, when it isn't, obviously, because we had the brand split way back. So, you know, they are just treating it as the current run of for all these things they're saying. But, you know, it's good just to get a few facts in there, just to poke them in the eye. Let's go on to the next match, and it's the tied final match in the Best of Seven series, Cesaro and Sheamus. This could be a very interesting match indeed. And looking at everyone's backing Cesaro, especially, of course, Adam, because he's been pushing Cesaro forever. Adam's got a plus 5 in this. Kiwi's got a plus 5, and I've got a plus 2 on Cesaro to win outright on the Best of Seven series. Kai, your thoughts on this?
I've gone with Cesaro, but I feel that this could go either way. I do really hope they give it to Cesaro, because I feel like he's the one out of the two that needs it more. I think that Sheamus had his run towards the end of last year and through the beginning of this year, and I think that now's the time for him to let Cesaro have his moment.
I'm just wondering if Heavy deliberately not put all their picks on this, because he needs this in a few hours' time or this updated. I get a feeling that he's deliberately holding out so we don't have that info in front of us. Heavy set, I'm watching you. Anyway, let's move on to the next match. We've got the United States Championship being defended by Rusev against Roman Reigns. And this is the first match on the card, Adam, where we've got a bit of a split on the sheet. 3-3, actually, as it stands. Myself, GBL, and PKC and Rusev, I've got a plus 2 on Rusev retaining, whereas Kai, yourself, and Kiwi are saying Roman Reigns, Adam.
Yeah, I've done that because they need a way to get Rusev out of the main event picture. They need to get Reigns out of the main event picture and get Rusev in. And Rusev dropping the US title to Reigns is the quickest way to do it. And he just goes on the next night on Raw, just beats up Kevin Owens.
Mm-hmm. Could it be that if he's another piece of the puzzle in that title picture, Kai, that it's getting a little bit congested up there?
That's true. I think that I kind of agree with Adam here. I'm not sure whether Rusev will be straight away moving up to main event picture, but I do think that this does open up the opportunity for Reigns to be out of world title contention. And I feel that if they give him the United States title, it will mean that there'll be that question mark won't be there of him going for the world title like it is now always.
Okay, fair enough. Let's move on to the next match, and it's the only match on the card that doesn't have a title or a series stipulation attached to it. Chris Jericho, Sami Zayn, every one of the six of us that have put answers in so far have gone with Zane. And I see you're putting in your Mars picks as we're talking, Kai.
He's also gone with Zane.
So it's Zane across the board. And of course, it's classic of Chris Jericho putting everybody over. But Chris has been getting a few surprise wins here and there at big events. Is it possible that it does go the other way, Kai?
I think that this is the time where Jericho is going to lay down for Sami Zayn, and that's going to be a great, great thing for Sami Zayn and hopefully get him going. I will say this, I was incredibly impressed with Jericho this week, as I am every week. I just find him hilarious. I think that he's found his role. He seems to be enjoying himself, which is always great to see from a veteran. And he knows the industry. He knows when it's right to get those wins to build his character up. But he knows that he's only getting those wins so that eventually they can knock him down to put over a guy like Zayn.
That's just because he's got
it.
And it's an absolute fact. Let's move on to the Raw Women's Championship, Adam. Triple threat match, Charlotte, Sasha Banks and Bayley. Looking at the sheet, we've got myself, Kai and Yamar going with Sasha Banks. GBL, yourself, PK and Kiwi going for Charlotte. Nobody going for Bayley at this stage in the game. What's your thoughts on this?
This was the hardest one to call for me.
Yeah.
And I nearly went with Sasha. I think it's too soon to give it to Bayley. She's always better chasing the title than defending it. So I think Sasha is still not 100%. I think she's still working hurt. And I think they're going to put it on Charlotte. And then Sasha will get it at Survivor Series. But I think Charlotte's retaining it.
Interesting. Now, Kai, my take on this was that Sasha had to give up the title, obviously, take that time out to go and let her back heal up a little bit. But she's back, so to me, I'm hoping that that's because she is fully healed up and ready to take back the title as it should be. Your thoughts, do you agree with that?
I agree with you. I think that they're resetting things, they're giving Banks back her run. I think that it's too early to put it on Bayley, but you never know. I've just got it in my head that at some point they're going to use the story of Bayley beating Banks one-on-one to win her first WWE Women's Championship once again, because I feel that that just writes itself. I know it's incredibly exactly the same as NXT, but I think to be able to play those, when it comes to the end of her career and even in packages after that, to play those two Bayley to Bellies to Sasha Banks back-to-back of her doing it in NXT to win the NXT Championship, and then the same maybe a year and a half later to Sasha Banks again. I think that'll be a fantastic, fantastic moment. And it's those moments that we all love.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's move on to the next match. And we've got the WWE Raw Tag Team Championships being defended by The New Day versus The Club. Looking at the sheet, most folks saying The Club, except GBL and Young Mark saying The New Day retaining. I feel they've had it for over a year. Maybe it's time for a little bit of a break and change of scene in terms of the titles. Adam, your thoughts?
They referenced the Demolition run a lot recently on Raw and in wrestling in general. So are they going for that? Or is it time just to hand it over to The Club? Because The Club have looked ridiculous these past few months, and they need to legitimize them somehow. I've put money on on the sheet it says The Club, but I'm second guessing this now.
Oh,
I'm gonna stick with The Club. I think if The New Day win, I won't be surprised.
Yeah, I mean, that's why I've not put any bet on this match. I was thinking there's things to my bets, so I wasn't putting anything on this because I just can't really be 100% sure either way on this. So The Club is taking it as far as I'm concerned. Kai, anything you want to add to that?
How long was the Demolition title reign?
400 and something.
Oh, I really did. I can hear somebody Googling it in the background.
Yeah.
I would say that I think that I have put the club down because I feel like, exactly like Adam, I feel that it's going to legitimize them. But
478 days.
All right. I think that this would be this is the most unpredictable match of the night. Because we all thought that they were going to get them at SummerSlam. We've all thought, yeah, for the last 3 months, we've all thought that the New Day are going to drop them. And I don't think it's going to hurt the New Day when they lose the title. I think that they'll carry on and they'll keep going. And because they just seem to be an absolute phenomenal tag team. There's so many people. You just hear the pop that they get just on Raw this week, and you realise that that's going to carry on going. But the club might need the titles right now.
Yeah, it's an interesting one, absolutely. And it certainly would do a lot for them having those titles. And I think they could have a whole lot more swagger about them with the titles in hand. And also looking at this and thinking about title changes overall on the card, we're all saying that, you know, the Cruiserweight Championship isn't changing hands. We're 100% split, apart from we're slightly verging on Reigns taking the US Championship. We're edging on Charlotte retaining the women's. So now we're seeing, actually, in this one, this could be a change as well. And how does that, you know, affect things? Do we see another title change in the Universal Championship match? Well, looking at the sheet, we're all saying no. We're all sticking with Owens, and there's a whole lot of points getting bet on this one. I'm going to start with you on this, Kai. Looking at the bets, so I've got a +4. You've got +5. Adam's got +5. Kiwi's got +5. Peaky's got +3. And Yalmar's got +5 on Owens retaining.
Yeah, I cannot see him dropping it anytime soon. The circumstances that he wins are debatable, but I think he will be. I hate to say I know he will be, but I'm pretty sure he'll be walking out with the WWE Universal Championship.
And I want to mention at this point, Adam, that GBL's put a +1 on a Triple H interference, helping Owens take that win.
I think that's a very shrewd move by the groundbreaking linguist.
I said that to Kai, except I was I'm not going to copy him just because I think it's a great move.
So we will see Triple H.
Yeah.
So in what capacity, I don't know. Whether it's like a post-match thing where he just runs in and pedigrees Rollins and sets up that long run to WrestleMania. Either way, we'll see. So I'm calling it now. Triple H Rollins is a WrestleMania match.
Interesting. And these points are getting quite crucial, Kai, because at the moment you're sitting joint second, if I call correctly, in the league table, which I'm just actually bringing up. You're joint second with Katie, I believe, behind the Mountie. So it's interesting in terms of that.
Yeah, it's getting very, very close and very interesting.
You've got 94, yeah. You've got 94, Mountie's got 102. So there's a wee buffer there. And then Adam, you're in fourth place on 85.
Yeah. Who'd have thought that?
Yeah, Andy Anderson certainly didn't think that.
That's because I've got one for WrestleMania. One. And on that match, I flipped a coin.
Yeah, that makes sense, doesn't it? No surprise there, then. But yeah, it's going to be a great event, I think, come Sunday night. So I'm looking forward to watching it on Monday. There's some great prospective matches on the card, as we've discussed. And we've got a lot to chat about, I'm assuming, next week off the back of it. So that's something to look forward to there.
This is the Beast of Belfast, Big Demo, and you're listening to the European Uppercut Podcast.
It's time to start moving into final thoughts for this week. And Adam, I'm going to come to you first of all.
Vince McMahon, my own TNA. That is an amazing thought and an exciting thought. Like I say, I'm sad the Cruiserweight Classic is over. I'll miss it greatly. I'll probably watch it all back in like one marathon session. So yeah, if you get a week off, Kai and Lincoln, we'll sit down and we'll do it. We'll just hire out the siren and just do the whole 10 episodes.
Sounds good
hit.
To me. It'll you be need great. To bring, we need to bring your brother as well, though, so that we can teach him about some decent wrestling.
Yeah, absolutely. We can have Major there for him to talk to as a fellow kind of...
And we'll Facebook Live it.
Yes, we will.
And you can do some great tag team maneuvers on him as well. Oh, yeah, wait, yeah. That's quite unfair.
like I did with a Mickey Mouse stuffed toy. Hashtag fanlife.
Yeah, there's a lot of things that can go wrong with doing wrestling moves in real life, but using a Mickey Mouse stuffed toy, very little can go wrong. It's pretty safe with Mickey Mouse. Just don't do it with a 10-month-old child or something ridiculous like that.
Where am I going to get a 10-month-old child from again? On a practical level, that's ridiculous.
Let's move on to you, Kai. Your final thoughts for this week.
My final thought just came to me as I was flicking through some of the wrestling websites, or more likely known as dirt sheets, because I've realised that, because people know, we do the news every week, and we kind of have to rifle through a lot of shit to get some half-decent wrestling stories, because a lot of it is a load of shit. And here's something which probably has nothing to back it. Well, actually, it has nothing to back it up except for what the website has posted. And that says, as seen on Monday's Raw, the Cruiserweight division finally made their debut on the main roster. And then they go on to mention what happened on Raw. And it says, for those that were expecting the same high-flying style of wrestling that they have seen on the Cruiserweight Classic will be sadly disappointed. Apparently, WWE is going to tone down the division that is seen on Monday Night Raw every week so that they aren't doing as many big flips and high spots during their matches.
Newsflash, that's what WWE do in the interest of maintaining the health and well-being of their talent so that they're not all out injured all over the place.
But also, there's nothing to back that up.
No.
At all. And that's what pisses me off about dirt sheets so much, is that you've got to rifle through a lot of shit to get half-decent things that you can make jokes about.
Yeah, it's an interesting little one. But, you know, let the WWE do what they need to do. It'll take time for them to settle the division into place properly. They've still got a bunch of guys that they've not debuted on Raw yet. So let's hang fire. Let's not worry about it, what's happening yet. We'll just wait and see. And in a few months' time, if we've got criticisms then we can hear them. But for now, let's enjoy the ride.
And positively, I was just about to say something, it just completely went from my mind. I have no idea. I had a positive thought in my mind and it's just gone. That's an amazing...
To do with cruiserweights?
No, I've just had a massive mind blank.
Tell you what, I'll do mine, and then if it comes to you by the time I've done mine, you can come back in with yours.
Cool.
Okay, so this Friday night, I'm planning to go to the latest Discovery Wrestling show, and it's the looking card on the show this coming Friday night at Edinburgh's Corn Exchange. I believe there's still tickets available, so if anyone in the Edinburgh area is listening to this, you should check that out. Go to shop.discoverywrestling.com to find out more. But the card is shaping up quite well. Jason Reed, who I interviewed last night, is in a tag team match with Johnny Lyons versus Deviation and Dave Conrad. Then we've got Theodoros versus Michael Chase, and both very interesting looking talents at the moment. Mark Coffey, brother of Joe Coffey, is facing off against Aspen Faith. Aspen Faith getting a bit of a reputation up here at the moment, doing very well for himself. We've also got a women's match with Debbie Sharp versus Lucy Cole, so that should be another interesting one there. We've got the most interesting match of the night for me, Joe Coffey facing off against Tommaso Ciampa. That's going to be great. Joe Coffey has been getting some amazing matches and some amazing recognition for it, and that's why he's getting put in against guys like Tommaso Ciampa earlier on in the year against Jay Lethal, and then of course in November for ICW against Kurt Angle. Hopefully one day Joe Coffey gets his recognition for all this work. And of course there's the one more match on the card, and that's the Y Division Championship up for grabs. Lewis Gervin defending against Marty Skrull. And yes, I'm getting to say Skrull again with my Scottish accent. So looking forward to going along with that, assuming nothing gets in the way, i.e. painting my bathroom or things like that. But it should be fine. It should be a good night. And do get along and see that if you're in the Edinburgh area, as I say. Now, Kai, have you remembered?
Yes, I have. The last night's SmackDown, I don't know whether you've both seen it, but John Cena versus Dean Ambrose, a very good match, in my opinion.
Interesting, because poor Dean Ambrose has been getting a little bit of stick as of late, folks thinking he's been getting a little bit lackadaisical playing it by numbers a little bit, so to speak. Some people making assumptions that perhaps he's maybe been working injured, etc. Good to hear he's having a good match with Cena. I'm looking forward to watching that later on tonight then. But I think it's time to start rounding up on this show. Adam, time to say your goodbyes and tell the lovely listener where they can find you.
Well, as always, gentlemen, it's been a pleasure. You can find me on the old Twitter set at Adam_Pearson, Instagram at Adam_Pearson_TV, and I'll probably be walking around the Grayson nominees party on October 16th, getting very drunk with my competitors.
Woohoo! Yeah, so good luck with that, Adam. Good to see you've got down to the final four. That's going to be an interesting night for you, and I hope you are celebrating with a shit ton of champagne.
I will be.
Kai, you're fine. You're, say your goodbyes and do your plugging.
You can find me on Twitter at HWIR. You can find my radio show Squabble Box on Thursdays on Siren FM, 11 a.m. till 1 p.m. and then later on the Trending Topics Network. And I have just had a new radio show greenlit yesterday, so I'll be able to tell you more details about that as the weeks go on. But very, very, very fun and exciting times.
Absolutely, and I know a little bit about that, so yeah, that's something to look forward to, and we are going to have that probably here on the network as well, because I've been chatting with my cohort behind the scenes about that. So Kai, I hadn't told you that yet, but that's
no, you hadn't happen. But awesome. Awesome, now you've said it on air, you can't go back.
No, absolutely not.
Dummy. Yeah.
If only this was live and not pre-recorded and none of this is getting in.
Yeah, I'm just time marking where to edit all that out. you can catch me on Twitter at LivingLegend148. And, of course, don't forget to get in touch with us right here on the European Uppercut. You can do so on the Facebook page, facebook.com/European Uppercut Podcast. Drop us a message. Tell us what your thoughts are on the show and all the things we've been chatting about. Do the same at Twitter, at the EU Pod. Or even better, next week, drop us an email. EuroUppercut@gmail.com. We'll love to hear from you. Please keep those coming in. And don't forget, you can also check out a ton of other great shows right here on the Trending Topics Network. All Being Inside, Old School Movies, Spanish Announce Table, NFL Easy Picks, CFL Easy Picks, Loo Chat, Eurovision Showcase, Test Experience, and so much more. In fact, I better say the Rasslecast. It's only fair to give them their credit. Also, don't forget to check out the interview I recorded last night with Jason Reed from W3L, the Worldwide Wrestling League. Great chat, chatting about his training with W3L, some of the guys he enjoys working with on the Scottish wrestling circuit. And also the move that he finds hardest to take. Interesting conversation there. Lots of good stuff. A really good chat with him. So check that out right here on the brand new Trending Topics Network as well. Next week's episode 104, we'll have the fallout from the Clash of Champions. But as things stand, we are done for this week. And we will catch you right back here next week. The Living Legend has now left the building.
Oh man! God, mother of all European uppercuts!